In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
I'm giving you this moment to speak to your Father. This is a personal moment. This is a personal moment. You want to pray, go ahead and pray. You want to worship, go ahead and worship. Just tell him how much of him you want. That's why you are here. That's why you are here. That's why we have come. Because we are interested to know more of him. Jesus, just one more prayer before we are seated. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight I receive the entrance of your word. I reject every distraction, and I declare that my eyes will be opened as my heart is opened to receive. My mind is focused to receive the wisdom and revelation that comes from your word, that is able to transform, enlighten, and empower me tonight. In Jesus' name. Open your mouth and pray for 1 minute. Turn that confession of faith to a prayer. Please pray. Please pray. Be determined to make this service your service. Take very serious what you are about to receive tonight. Beginning by your commitment to prayer. Please pray. Prayer changes you first. Open your mouth and cry to him. Lord, my heart is open. My mind is focused and attentive. My eyes are open to receive. The entrance of your word that giveth life. More of you. More of you. More of you. Lord Jesus, more of you. Taradi Jesu brate gelege marahaldasine. Shabrate kele bahaka sibra mon kotoro mo sibra handai. La hambre tosco pronde che tal pehassa brando copele hiva cataia. Vangre toschete prende cretiga passandra capala hagai. Balashka pranda crete che bosso protologomoi. Let understanding be imparted upon your people. Let the entrance of your word supply light. Light that becomes the life of your people. Let our minds be changed and transformed. Let our lives be empowered by your word. Please lift your voice and cry. More segretele gebrene gele baha kasiya. In Jesus' name. Father, tonight we thank you because we know that our lives will thoroughly be transformed, be changed, and heavily empowered by the entrance of your word. Your word is the number one agent for transformation and change. It is by your word that we become according to your purpose and according to your perfect will for us. And I pray that it will be so for everyone listening and watching right now, both those who are here and those who are following by way of the internet around the world. And under this atmosphere, let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered instantly. Let every devil from hell tormenting your people, let them loose right now. And let every problem that has come to this ground be solved by your wisdom and power. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody who is ready to receive, shout a loud amen. Please clap your hands for the King of Kings. Is that the best you can do for him? Hallelujah. Just before you sit down, let me encourage you to pay attention tonight. It is the word of God that transforms. I've explained again and again, and there's really no need for me to explain more. If you want to become in the kingdom, treasure the word of God. Last Sunday was miracle service, and we saw how God moved. It takes a man that God has transformed by his word to become a vessel that yielded to manifest that power. Are you hearing me? That's why we do more of the word. And then once in a while we do miracle services so that we can train and teach you to know that that is the pathway to an empowered life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And your life will never be the same after today. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let's get to the word.
Let me know you more and more. When I know you, I find peace.
I just decided to meditate on the song while they were singing it, while the worship team sang it. And I don't know how many times you I don't know if we meditate on songs that we sing in church. In knowing God is true and lasting peace. That means the reason why many people are not experiencing peace in their life is because they don't know the God of peace. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for he is our peace. He is our peace. It's not something or someone that gives you peace. He is our peace. And as you know God, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So in knowing God is true and lasting peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that does not need situations around you to change. No. Peace that makes you conscious of the fact that regardless of what is happening around you, you can live in consistent peace all the days of your life. Am I talking to myself or I'm talking to people? This part of the message, oh. Let me know you more and more. When I know you, I find peace. So, the answer to most of the problems in our life is knowing God. There are things that we cry about now that if only you can upgrade your knowledge of God, you will no longer be bothered about those things because you will find out that satisfaction only exists in knowing God. As simple as that, many people stumble over it. Christianity is so simple that that's the reason why many people fail. It's not complicated. You see, sometimes in your walk with God, there are some problems that God may not necessarily take away from your life. When you go to God complaining about those problems, God will simply just take you high in your knowledge of Him. Kind of like, I'm trying to explain it using plain words so we can understand. It's more like God just takes you to His realm. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, you don't understand. Please sit down. You guys sit down. Thank you. It's not every problem you go and pray about that God will come and take away. No. Sometimes in that prayer, God just, I don't know how to put it, but something happens. He upgrades your level in the spirit. A natural man will not understand what I'm saying. It just takes you high. And when you go high in your walk with God, you will look at that problem and see how insignificant it is and not be bothered about it. Do you get what I'm telling you? I really want you to get it though. Let me be honest with everybody here. One of the things that I believe I enjoy every day is peace. I'm telling you the truth. Don't I look like a peaceful person? I'm telling you, there is nothing that can disturb me. Oh. Even if 10,000 people are talking about me, I'm even happy that I've been praying for it. That peace that I enjoy is not because I have money. Even though I know I'm not broke, not because of what is in my account, but because I know that my God shall supply. It's still the knowledge of God. Are you hearing me? Don't always wait for things around your life to change before you experience peace. If not, your happiness will be momentary. And I hope you know happiness is the botanical name for vanity. Let me explain. Yeah. Don't seek happiness. Seek joy. Seek peace. Happiness is momentary. Something is wrong with the volume. Please increase it a bit. Happiness is momentary. Are you hearing me? You engage certain things to be happy. And if you want to keep that moment, you need to keep engaging those things. But you know that there's nothing you can do forever. Abi? Some people find happiness and peace in eating jollof rice. So that means if you want to retain that happiness, you have to keep eating jollof rice every day. And you know what will happen if you do that. It will affect you negatively. So that's why I say, happiness simply reminds you that all in this life is vanity. You don't need happiness. What you need is joy. So that you don't need a momentary action to make you experience joy and peace. But you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And therefore, because of that, you can decide to be happy even when things are not okay. You can decide to be at rest even though things are not at peace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why Jesus slept in a boat that was about to capsize. Did you get what I just said? I'm even wondering why I started saying that thing, because some of you are just looking at me like this. Amen. But I pray that God will increase us in the knowledge of God. I believe in miracles, so I believe in, we just came from last Sunday. You saw everything that God did. But those are not the things that make me happy, no. If there's one thing I live for every day, is I know that when I wake up in the morning, I have a relationship with God. Amen. I wake up every day knowing that I have a relationship with God. And that relationship was facilitated by His love. I know that I didn't do anything to earn the love of God. And that the love of God for me is everlasting. That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 31 verse 3. It says, I have loved you. How? With an everlasting love. Do you know what it means? That means even if you walk away from God, His love for you remains. But you chose to walk away. Are you hearing me? Say, but Apostle, why are people in hell if God truly loves us? It's their choice to be in hell. But the love remains everlasting. So if you know a God that you didn't do anything to earn His love, and you know He doesn't use human opinion to love you and to bless you, what else do you need to be happy? I thank God that God didn't consult any of you to call me. If not, I would not be standing here. Is that true? And even after this statement, God will not consult with you to do anything in my life. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. We sing songs, but we don't understand the revelation behind it. Are you hearing me? This, my life, there are only two people that can decide anything about my life. Me and God. Finish. Even if the people hating me are increasing every day, He doesn't change. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Are you hearing me? That's why I say knowing God is finding peace. When you know this is your mindset, you will be at rest. I'm telling you. And that's what God wants us to experience. And I pray that tonight, as you receive the word of God, you will be translated to this reality that I speak of. Whether you understand it or not, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we get to the word? Where is Mrs. Jessica? Are you here with your husband? Okay, please come. Because I know, He holds my future. My life is worth the living just because He lives. You know why I'm singing this song? God is talking to me about some people here now. I mean, a direct prophetic word. But if I go into that, it will change the service. So I'm just singing. This song is the prophecy. Are you hearing me? My life is worth. The prophecy is sweet, but what I want to teach you today is more important than the prophecy.
So take the song as a word from God.
Because I know, oh, He owns my future. My life is worth believing just because I know He owns my future. My life is worth believing just because He lives.
I sing it again.
Because I
be a prophetic word to somebody. In the name of Jesus. You may not know what's happening right now in your life, but trust the God who brought you this far to take you to where He has prepared for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please come. Can I pray for you? Happy birthday to you. I've noticed that the only time you come out to testify is when it's your birthday or somebody's birthday or something. Is that true? Huh? Can I pray for you? Do you believe? It's alright. Will your baby allow somebody to hold him, or you want to hold him? I want to lay hands on you. Somebody hold the baby for her. Give me that oil. When you were sharing your testimony, the Lord said I should pray for two things for you in this your new year. Amen? Now, me, I don't know how to be dramatic about prophecy, but I know how to hear from God. It's your choice to believe it. It's your choice not to believe it. Amen? Do you believe what I'm going to say? Are you sure? Not that you believe now and forget tomorrow, and when you are living in the process of it, you believe it? The Lord said I should pray for you for two things. Number one, He said I should pray for your health in this new year. Number two, He said I should pray for peace in your life and in your home. That's all. It's not like God doesn't know that you need money, even though you are blessed. But that one has been taken care of. But these two things is what you need. And therefore, in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the word of God, we declare peace over your life, peace in your marriage, peace in your home, peace in your marriage, peace in your home, peace in your marriage, peace in your home, peace in your marriage, peace in your home. I'm not just praying for now, I'm praying into this new year. Peace in your home. Peace in your marriage. And I speak to your body in the name of Jesus that it will function by the power of resurrection from now until the next birthday. Affliction will be far from you. I rebuke the spirit of death. Anything that will grow in your body without the knowledge of God is uprooted and declared dead on arrival. The name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We bless your new year in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you. Happy birthday. Because I know He owns my future. As you are walking back to your seat, I want you to declare three times, I shall not die but live. Somebody say, I shall not die but live. I shall not die but live. I'm not wasting your time. I'm under the influence of the Spirit. I know what I'm saying. The prophecy is not drama. Let's get to the word. Amen. Job chapter 23 verse 10. I believe that this word will bless somebody, will encourage someone, will lift up the spirit of someone. Not only those of you who are here, but even the several hundreds that are following online. Amen. Job 23 verse 10 and verse 11. It says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as what? It says, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. Let's read it in King James translation, the two verses again. The two verses in King James translation. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So you only become as gold when you have gone through a trial. And what do you do when you are going through the trial that is meant to conform you to become as gold? Verse 11. Verse 11 is the rules of engagement when you are going through the trial process that will eventually turn you to become gold. Are you with me at all? It says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. So what you do when you go through those trials is that you hold fast to the ways of God and not let go. Hold fast to the ways of God that you have been taught, that you have learned, that you have received by revelation and by teaching. Hold fast to it and don't turn aside. Because after he has tried you, you will come forth as what? Whether it concerns your career, whether it concerns your spirituality, which is your relationship with God, whether it concerns your marriage, whether it concerns your relationships, whether it concerns your destiny. Whatever in your life that God is making and conforming to his will, the Bible says after he has tried you, you will come forth as what? Gold. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So the power that is inside of us makes men to know that it is God at work through us and in us and not we ourselves. And because of that power that is trapped in us, verse 8, it says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body, the same body that carries the treasure that is from God, though. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. Jump to verse 16. We'll read from verse 16 to verse 18. So then, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Meaning that the glory that will follow after what you are going through now is not only greater, but even more important than what you are going through. So live for what is ahead, not for what you are going through now. Let's continue. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, your poverty, your joblessness, your not being married, your suffering, how men ridicule you and insult you. Those are the things that you see. They are temporal. But the things which are not seen, meaning the glory that will follow after this humiliation you are going through, how God will exalt you after all these problems you have gone through, those things are eternal. May God bless the reading of His word and bless the ears that hear it. In Jesus' name we pray. Trust the process. That's what God said I should share with us tonight. Trust the process. Trust the process. Trust the process. Trust the process. Tell your neighbor, trust the process. Turn to another neighbor. That neighbor, I'm not sure if they are in church. Say, trust the process. Tell them again, trust the process. Let's get to the word. Romans 8, 17. Let's be very quick, please. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. So we will be glorified together with Him only if we 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 to 16. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. That means what you are going through now is not strange. And I beg to say it may not be demonic. The devil may not even have a hand in what some of you are going through. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, thank you, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Because you will become what has been revealed. He said, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. Let's go on. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evil doer. That means don't suffer in your own doing. Because there are people who are suffering out of their ignorance. There are people who are suffering because they broke a law. There are people who are suffering because they refuse to be consistent in doing the right thing. They say, let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody. I'm sure the people that wrote the Bible may have their ancestors of Nigerians. Or as a busybody in other people's. Now, please listen. This teaching I'm coming back to read this, but let me tell you, it was 2 weeks ago God gave me this teaching. I came for service here. I think we were preaching on revival. I just turned and looked at one of our members. I won't point to the person. And as soon as I looked at the person, I heard the voice of God. Trust the process. So nobody should think it was recently, I know. Okay? I just look, perhaps that person was going through something and God just said, go and teach this. Let's continue reading. So nobody should say, I'm looking at you and preaching. You are too small to be preached. With all due respect, you are too small to be preached. In Jesus' name. Let's continue. No, go back to that busybody. Let's read it again. I think that there are some artists that sang busybody. He said, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief. Some of the people that are laughing may even be the busybody. Or as a busybody in other people's matters. Let's go on. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be what? But let him glorify God in this. Tell your neighbor, trust the process. Lastly, James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I said verse 2 to 4. Let's continue, please, quickly. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That means for your faith to give birth, it must be tested. But let patience have its perfect work in you. So God is interested in maturity. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So patience as a virtue is one of the signs of perfection or maturity. However, patience is only born when your faith has been tested. And how is your faith tested? When you go through what? Trials. Somebody say trials. And it will interest those of you who are called to ministry or who sense a calling on your life, that for as long as you are sensing that calling, just sign it that suffering will be part of my life. In Jesus' name. Full stop. Whether you like it or not, there is no man that God calls to do anything that will not suffer. I wish I could tell you another thing, but I'm not here to sweet talk you with my messages. No. Of course, I'm not here to bastardize. I'm here to lift the spirits of people, but I must preach you the truth. There is no man called to a great assignment or destiny that will not suffer. If you arrive at destiny before suffering, you are a suspect. Even the devil should be afraid of you, because he knows that that's one of the reasons why God employs him. To test and cause to suffer those who have been chosen by God and ordained for a glorious destiny. So if you arrive at your destiny as anything at all, without going through seasons, the suffering is not one. So, and number two, the suffering will not tell you when it's coming. Number three, the suffering will not tell you it's enough. I hope you know. It's added to the warranty. You know when you buy a product, they say, how many months warranty? I'm telling you the truth. If you must do great things for God and fulfill your destiny, suffering. And I don't say that callously. No. I say that with love. I don't say that with any wickedness. No. I say that with love, but with the truth. You must suffer. Because there are things that can only be birthed in and through your destiny when you go through the furnace of suffering. May God give us the grace to go through the process that will cause us to comfort as gold. Somebody shout a louder amen to that. In Jesus' name. I want you to write this down. Number one, note the following points. Number one, the making or manifestation of all things is governed by the law of process. The making or manifestation of all things is governed by the law of process. The making and or manifestation of all things is governed by the law of process. Somebody say process. Process is a law that everything on planet Earth must go through. So there is nothing that will manifest in its fullness or there is nothing that is made without going through. In fact, the fact that it is made means it went through process. Even if you are cooking, the food cannot just become jollof rice instantly. No. There is a process that transforms ingredients into a dish. It's called recipe. That's what chefs call it. Recipe. Right? There's a process that transforms mineral resources into becoming jewelries or useful finished products. There's a process that translates produce to become products. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What do I mean by produce to become products? Cotton that is used to make your clothes. Cotton that is a material used to make clothes is gotten from a crop, a product, a produce. The crop that grows on the farm is called produce. There is a process that translates that produce as a crop to become a product that is a cloth. So the making or manifestation of all things is governed by the law of process. It is process that governs the manifestation of an anointed man, of a mighty man. Something happens that you may or may not see. Nobody stumbles into wealth overnight. No, there is a process that they follow. Process in itself is a law. And there's something that we must know about laws in this life. Laws are the only things that give you predictability of outcomes. Predictability of success is based on the laws that are followed. You can only predict the end of a thing, the future of a thing, by the laws that it follows. And you must also know that laws are not emotional. Laws are not sentimental. Laws are not biased. Laws are laws. Laws are not gender-based. Laws cannot be debatable. Laws are what? Laws. Are you following? Point number two. The connection between the beginning and the end of a thing is process. The connection between the beginning and the end of a thing is process. The connection between the beginning, pull up that slide for me now. The connection between the beginning and the end of a thing is process. In Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, the Bible says, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Do you notice that in that scripture, it didn't say harvest time, it said harvest. That means the harvest time is determined by the process that follows seed time. When you plant a seed and it goes through the law of process, the harvest can be predicted as well as its time. So the connection between the beginning and the end of a thing is what? Process. Like that picture you see there. Between seed time and harvest, there's a process that makes those seedlings become a crop. Amen. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8 says the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Let's read it. Yes, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. That means what will take you from the beginning to the end, which is better than the beginning, is what? Patience. Philippians 1 verse 6, some of you can quote it. He that has begun a good work in you is able to what? Is able to what? No shame me for you. He that has begun a good work in you is able to what? Until the day of... Young people, you need to learn how to quote scriptures though. I'm talking to the young ones amongst us. You need to learn how to, you need to make it part. That should be your swag as a believer. You must know scriptures. Are you hearing me? It's the word of God we know that differentiates us from unbelievers. So if we are gathered here and we don't know scriptures, we may as well just be. Job chapter 8 verse 7. Though thy beginning was small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. So the connection between the beginning and the end of the thing is process. Under that point number two, I want you to note this. Every man's path, please listen to this. Every man's path is filled with several unpredictable situations. However, the predictability of their future or destiny is seen through the process they take. I will read it four times so that you can get it. Every man's path is filled with several unpredictable situations. However, the predictability of their future or destiny is seen through the process they take. Let me read it again. Every man's path is filled with several unpredictable situations. However, the predictability of your future or destiny is seen through the process they take. You know what that means? That in life, as you journey, all kinds of situations will befall you that are unpredictable. However, how we can predict where you are going to or the other side of that situation is the process that those unpredictable situations take you through. So even though the situations that befall you every day may to a large extent be unpredictable, it is meant to take you through a predictable process so that you can know what is at the end. Do we understand? So what will happen tomorrow, you don't know. But you know that whatever will happen tomorrow is a process that should help you predict what you will become after tomorrow ends. Do you hear what I'm saying? Nobody plans for calamities that befall them. Nobody plans for, you can just be sitting on your couch and then check your phone and see debit alert, bam. Another debit alert, until they finish everything there. How it happened is what you will have to find out. Why it is happening, you don't know. There are many situations that we go through that are unpredictable. They won't tell you they are coming. They won't even tell you the gravity of it. You can go to sleep this night and at 2 a.m., your baby starts running temperature. While you are rushing for your baby, your wife is gasping for air. While you are doing that, they are throwing bombs somewhere and people are running. Did you plan for that? Absolutely no. In fact, that kind of scenario can keep you confused. And it is human to be confused. It is human to panic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you may not be able to predict what will happen the next 1 hour, the next 2 hours, the next 10 hours, next week. Sometimes even when you try to prepare for troubles ahead, the trouble may even prepare for your preparation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Especially to men. You know that money that you kept in one account somewhere in case of emergency. Maybe some $1,500 somewhere. Or some 500,000 naira. In case of anything, I will just fall to it. So the problem that came now is 2 million. So even your preparation is not as prepared as the trouble that prepared, or the trouble prepared for your preparation. That is an unpredictable situation, but you know one thing. That this process, when I go through it, I will come out matured. I will come out with a crisis intelligence that makes me more prepared when such kind of troubles comes again. So that's what I mean by a man's path may be filled with unpredictable situations. However, the predictability of their future and their destiny can be known by the process they go through. So it's not what is happening to you that determines where you are going. It's what is happening with you within what is happening to you. Are you here? If you pay attention to this teaching this night, what I'm giving you, if you can listen to this and embrace this, is a sign that you are a matured Christian. And I only know of one set of people that can withstand the challenges of this life. Matured believers. Number three, the process of change is referred to as transformation. The process of change is referred to as transformation. 1 John 3 verse 2. It says, beloved, now are we the children of God. King James says sons of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he. The process of change is referred to as. I hope you know change is a process. That process is what we call transformation. Change of form. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the... So we become what we are looking at. What are we looking at? The glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? Jesus. Because Jesus is the full expression of God. And the Bible calls us children of God. A child must grow to become like their parents, isn't it? So the more we behold Jesus, the more we see the model that we are being changed into. That's the purpose for Christianity. Not to just sit down in church from January to December. No. It's the purpose of beholding Jesus so that you can gradually be changed to become like him, because he is God. The process of change is transformation. So as you become born again and you come to church and you start listening to the word of God, you will notice that the change that happens in the life of a believer is first of all gradual before it carries an instant phase. This is what I mean. Nobody, for instance, nobody becomes anointed overnight. Nalai, I'm telling you, even if you pray for 15 hours, you can't be guaranteed that you'll become anointed instantly. No. There is a process of change you must go through. The anointing is empowerment that should come on somebody that has experienced transformation. In that transformation, they understand that the anointing is not for fun, it's for empowerment. They understand that the anointing is not theirs, it's God's. So they will not use it as if they are, it's their own. They will use it being accountable to the one who put it on them. That's why I have nothing to say against people who say, can I prophesy? There's perhaps nothing wrong in that. But in reality, you don't prophesy because you want to prophesy. No. You prophesy because someone has spoken to you. The Bible says, the lion has roared. Who can? It said, the Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? I think that's Amos chapter 3 verse 8 or something like that. So in as much as you can hear them say, can I prophesy? The truth is, the reason why they prophesy is not because they can prophesy, but because they have to. Because that power does not belong to them. It belongs to somebody that gave them. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but? So if God speaks to me, whether I like it or not, I must talk. The power will possess me and make me talk. So I'm not prophesying because I want to prophesy. If I begin to do that, I'm already drifting from course. I'm using what does not belong to me as though it is mine. And they say absolute power corrupts absolutely. Right? You know, the power situation in Nigeria, with all due respect but without apology, the power situation in Nigeria became worse when they privatized it. It was even better when it was NEPA. Because NEPA means never expect power always. But at least you will expect power sometimes. But when they privatized it, became another thing. And up till now, Nigeria can, as a nation of getting to 300 million people, we can't boast of
a transmission grid that is up to 50,000 megawatts. We've not even gotten up to 10,000 megawatts. I think it became worse when they privatized it. In my opinion, it's either the government, if I should advise the government, it's either they do a public and private partnership. And you know, it's very difficult now because those who are in the power sector, Transmission Company of Nigeria, is owned by individuals. It's like a company. You buy it or you own a bigger share. You have bigger share, so you own it. So you see that power in Nigeria is not operated by the government. It's run by private, it's privatization. And if you are here and you don't know privatization, go back to university. So in my opinion, either it should be public-private partnership or it should be run by the government. Even if you do public-private partnership, the problem, a public-private partnership means that the government will regulate, even though it is privatized, and the public, you and I, citizens of the country, will have a say, will have a control on it. You hear what I'm saying? It will be like a PLC. Not just in the hands of a few individuals. You hear Ibadan Electricity Distribution Company, Ikeja Electricity, Yola Electricity. Some people just sit down and give light when they want. But they know how to bring heavy bills to you. And the reason why is even a problem, if you try to bring the government to check it, it's even a problem because when somebody becomes or is appointed Minister of Power, the people in charge of TCN will buy a heavy jeep and go and give him. Say, we just greet you. We are greeting you into office. And when you have collected jeep. Amen. I hope you know I'm not just wasting time talking. In my own opinion, the government should collect it back. We don't even have up to 10,000 megawatts. I wish you understood the power sector. I wish you had understood the economy. You know what I'm talking about. Go to China. Recently, I was in Abuja and I was passing behind the villa. I saw a huge solar panels. I say we are in trouble. If the villa is using solar, what are they telling you? Grab your copy now. I hope I don't get in trouble for what I'm saying. Because Nigeria is a place where they say there's freedom of speech, but yeah. But for those of us who are in government here, and who, if the government official may watch this, this is just constructive criticism. Amen. And if God has blessed you, better go and buy solar and equip yourself, or buy windmill and get your own power. Amen. While we are praying and trusting God for the demon in that sector to leave. Amen. You know, the name changed, but the spirit was still there. I believe it's a marine spirit. Let me come back to my teaching before I deviate. The process of change is referred to as what? Genesis 26, verse 12 to 13 and to 14. The process of change is transformation. You evolve into different versions until you get the final version. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to what? And continued until he became very... What you are seeing there is process. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herd. Hold on. In verse 12, the Bible says he sowed, meaning he farmed. But now the Bible is saying in verse 14, after he became very prosperous, he had possessions of flocks. And that means he evolved as a businessman. He went beyond just farming crops to animal husbandry. The process of change is what? Selling rice will not make you the millionaire God wants you to become. No. You can start with rice. But if you understand business, I'm using that as an example. It's like a relay. It's a chain. You may not end up with what you started with.
Dangote started by importing and selling sugar. And, all right? Then he started farming the sugar cane and harvesting and refining his own sugar. Today, he's one of the biggest names in oil and gas in Africa. He has gone into fertilization plants and all of that. Now he's building a seaport. But it started with sugar and flour. Just like you can start with bones today. But the dream can become owning a franchise of restaurant. In fact, what you start with may not be what you end with. What you start with may be what you need to fail, and learn. Before you end up with... Are you hearing me? That's why if you don't believe in process or change, you will be stagnant. I hope I'm not just wasting my speech. I'm talking to people. No man becomes overnight. Becomes in quote. No man becomes overnight. No matter how many times I prophesy speed on your life, even if I use my saliva and rub you, by this mouth by which I pray, I prophesy. Even if I say speed 100 times, you will not become overnight. You become with time. Becoming is a process that takes time. Isaiah 60 verse 2. You love Isaiah 60, but Emmanuel quoted it for us, verse 1. And if you read Isaiah 60, it has juicy kinds of blessing. The Gentiles will come with wealth. They will come with gold. Come with this. Come with that. You will suck the breast of kings. You will drink the milk of Gentiles. For your bronze, I will give you gold. For your silver, I will give you iron. I will give you silver. But at the end of the chapter, what did he say? Isaiah 60 verse 22. 22. I can quote it, but you know, we are talking about process today, so I want you to see it. A little one shall what? Become. Process. Somebody shall process. Yes, it's the destiny for the little one. In fact, when God created the little one, he put 1,000 in the little one. But the little one must become. And a small one, a strong nation. So when God looks at you, he sees a nation. When God looks at your Bons and Zobo business, your Okrika business, he sees a mega business tycoon. But the difference between what God sees and what you are now is a process of becoming. Every one of us will become with time. See, you see a music minister works an album and he does an album launch and expect that with that he should just blow everywhere and the nations hear him. You are not a balloon, sir. That's why you will not blow. It's only a balloon they blow. And when you blow it too much, what will happen? Pah! So you spent 200,000, 500,000 to wax the album. And when you did album launch, you did not even realize up to 300,000. Go back to your room and thank the Lord. At least you started. Sometimes we need to be grateful for the courage to start. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you said, I want to use album where you use 500,000. I want to use 500,000 naira album. That's how many? That's $300 or something. And you want to use that one? Blow, main nations hear you. Are you not a Yahoo boy? You want to use less than $1,000 for no, come on now. Are you hearing me? How long have you been a professional playing the instrument? 1 year. And you just expect overnight that they should start paying you 200,000. Abba. Don't cheat your way into success. Are you hearing me? Sometimes the things we wish for, they say wishes were horses. Sometimes the things we wish for, if wishes were horses, you will not find those kind of horses even in heaven. Are you hearing me? Number 4. Growth.
Growth, which is a constant. Don't write which is a constant for every living thing. Growth is a gradual process that happens over a period of time. Growth is a gradual process that happens over a period of time and is studied and regulated. Growth is a gradual process that happens over a period of time and is studied or regulated. Growth happens over a period of time. It's a process. It is studied and regulated. The fact that it can be studied, the fact that it can be regulated, is a sign that that process is called growth. That means any kind of increase that cannot be studied to observe the laws followed is not increase. It's not growth. You may call it another thing, maybe malformation. That's the reason why they can't even understand how cancer enters the body of a person and spreads. Right? That's why you can't call that growth. Malformation. So if you claim that you have grown, we should be able to look at your life and study you and find the principles and the laws that you have adhered to. And sometimes you may go through a challenging or a trial phase of your life or destiny and not know that that trial is actually you being examined and studied, sometimes by humans, sometimes by principalities and powers, to be sure that you adhere to all the laws needed for you to get to that point. That's the reason why anointed people suffer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says that after Jesus was baptized, he came out from the river and the Spirit of God took him to the wilderness to be tempted. Simply put, God submitted him to Satan. Check if he's the Son of God. Check our product for us. God himself took Jesus to Satan. Are you hearing me? The Spirit drove him to the wilderness, not to go and do retreat, not to go on vacation, no, to be tempted by the devil. So sometimes God can allow the devil come around you with challenges and trials. Let's check whether he's truly a son of God. Not like God does not know. But you see, God operates a justice system in his universe in such a way that even though he's sovereign and he does what he pleases, yet what he does, he allows to be examined and studied, not only by human beings, but by the forces of nature and by principalities and powers, because in it his wisdom is revealed. Your life must prove that you are worth the anointing God has placed on you. So he releases you for the devil to try you, to be sure that you are matured enough to carry the anointing God placed on your life. That is why you are going through what you are going through now. That's why you are sick, but God keeps showing you that you are healing people in your dreams. I hope I'm not wasting my saliva. I know God never told you, that's what I'm telling you now. And as I'm telling you now, it's not just by teaching, it's by experience too. So God promised me that I'll be a kingdom millionaire. Why am I broke? Very simple. I hope you know that money is power. Money can corrupt, it can possess. God will not give you anything you cannot rule over. So that poverty you are going through is a test to know that money is not an idol or the center of your heart. He wants to see whether even though you are poor, it doesn't affect your understanding of who you are. You see, when a man is poor and he allows financial poverty, of course, when a man allows his financial state affect the understanding of who he is, he should not be made rich. And I'm saying that with love. Anybody that builds their reputation based on what they have should not be entrusted with wealth. You have to live apart from your resources. Otherwise, when you have resources, you want to intimidate people. You want to oppress people. You want to show people who you are, because you think who you are is what you have. And Jesus said, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of what he has. Until you learn to live and exist in peace and in stability with or without resources, you should not be given wealth. That's why all these Yahoo boys and all this fast way of getting to wealth is Satan trying to destroy destinies. He knows the genuine way of earning these things. Because wealth is trust. But he wants to make you bypass all that process. So that the wealth you have does not carry the signature of God on it. And that's why it doesn't last. I hope I'm not wasting my saliva today. That's why, as much as God feels the fact that you are going through pain with finances, he wants you to know that it's a process he's taking you through. And until you begin to believe that this process is meant to bring growth and maturity and stop complaining, you may just keep going through it. There are many ladies that when they don't have money, their period will come immediately. Even if it's not the time, the period will come. You are not matured. If you are a lady, like, you are not yet matured. You are not a woman yet. I'm telling you. You know, they'll tell you, I'm a lady and I need. The same scriptures that tells us that God supplies is applicable for every gender. If you need money, then talk to your creator who created you. And sometimes be content when he gives you only what you need per time. Because some people want to have what they don't need. Let me ask you, that 1 million you are trusting God should appear in your account. What are you going to use it for? How much will feed you in a month? How much will clothe you? So most times we are looking for what we don't need. That's why there are all kinds of rich men in society. Any rich man you see who wants to show what he has, that's not a rich man that should be followed. You will just study vanity. Wealthy men, whether they are Christians or not, they are men with purpose. For more than 25 years, Bill Gates has been investing in Africa. In fact, that's one of the only richest men in the world who is not concerned about his level, whether he's number one today or number five. Anytime you see him, the only time you see him talking on social media, he's talking about Africa. He's talking about pregnant women, nursing women, malaria. And that's where he's funneling all his money into. You see people like Elon Musk and what's this young man? Young, but his money is older than the Meta, Mark Zuckerberg. I was watching an interview a few weeks ago that they just designed. Oh my goodness. You remember one time I told you that I was coming for miracle service and God showed me a vision. And I saw like the eyes became like a camera of a phone. And the processing something was in the... Currently, Meta has designed something that a technology that we are going to meet maybe in 10 or 20 years time. They call it the future. It's like a goggle, a pair of goggles, a pair of glasses. You can use it to have virtual meeting. Once you wear it, the person in Australia, you'll be seeing the person and you people will be communicating. The person just needs to wear their own. And they want to design it such a way that regardless of the time zone or geographical location or state of network, you can operate the... You are looking. Some of you are looking at me as if I'm talking Greek. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Don't worry, I'm coming for you in Utah Flame. That's money with a purpose. He may not call the name of Jesus, but that's money. He doesn't have time to flaunt his wealth. The reason why he's making that money is because he has an agenda. Ask Elon Musk. Maybe he's going to be the first. Yeah, he has even started it. People are buying buses to do bus transportation. Keke Napep to do Keke Napep transportation. Somebody is building a spaceship to transport people to the moon, to space. He's thinking beyond his generation. Let's come to the gospel. Men like Pastor Chris, even before we started having social media accounts. They already had their app. Yuku's Library. Pastor Chris Library. They don't have channel. They have channels. In fact, they don't have channels. They have satellites. Malakasi Kratalabagayada. So any rich man you see, or anybody who has money and wants to flaunt it, there's something I said I was not going to talk about, because I don't want to be a pastor that talks about what's online. Because really, I don't have time. When I'm online, I'm looking at something. But I saw a musician who wants to do a wedding that is almost $4 million worth. And he did wedding last year. And he wants to do a wedding of that amount. Do you know what that is in Naira? That's almost 10 billion Naira. For what reason? I rest my case there. Because I'm not a Pharisee. Some of you, sharply, and I don't know. I hope that's how much you know about your academics. I hope that's how much you know about your business. Let's continue our message. So I said, growth is a gradual process that happens over a period of time and is studied or regulated in phases. Is studied or regulated in phases. Growth is in phases. Bishop Oyedepo said, life is in phases. Men are in what? Men are in what? So where you are is not your original size. It's the size that fits your particular phase in life. That's why I'm not bothered about my size now. There's a phase of life I will grow into. My size will come out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know many of you are bothered. You want me to grow fat and all. I see your passionate and sincere desire, but just allow me. And they've done everything. They've put me on supplements, put me on this one. They bought protein shakes, bought this one, brought even some products that they don't have in Nigeria. I've taken everything. I remain like this. I just said, you know what? This is my size per my face. Just continue. But can I tell you, as I am like this, I am healthy. I am so healthy. I am telling you. I am even surprised at how healthy I am. When last did you treat malaria? I don't even know whether malaria exists. As I am like this. So allow me. I will get to a phase and increase. And I don't even plan to increase very much. I don't even plan to have stomach. Amen. Life is in phases, men are in sizes. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 to 8. If you are blessed, say amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 to 8. Let's speed up because of time. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Whether you like it or not, a time to be born and a time to no matter how you cry when somebody dies in your house, always remember, there is a time to be born and a time to what? A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. Please, let's be as fast as possible if you don't have a problem with your equipment. A time to kill and a time to what? So healing takes time. Healing takes. Don't try to make people heal immediately. You can't do it. You are not Jehovah Rapha. Sometimes, after you have supplied first aid of listening, first aid of comfort, allow people to heal. In fact, healing happens in isolation. If somebody is injured in their hand and they dress it and plaster it, is it not foolish for you to be opening the plaster every day? Make a check whether it don't heal. No, it never heal. Close and back. Make a check. You close it there, and after 2 weeks, 1 month, you open it, and all you see is the sky, isn't it? Do you know what that means? Sometimes emotional healing for people should happen when they are alone. Leave them isolated to heal. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Oh, by the way, next week I want to teach on emotional healing. Let me tell you, as a pastor, I know, before I started ministry, I know that I cannot be everything for everybody. I know it already. so I don't even try. It's not everybody God will show me something for. It's not everybody I have a word for. It's not everybody that will believe in my ministry. And I'm okay with that. No matter what I say to you, you can't heal immediately. The Bible says a time to kill and a time to heal. After all the talk, my own is to go back and pray for you and allow you with the word. Sometimes we need to trust process. That's the topic. Trust the process. You can't be everything for everybody. You can't do everything for everybody. Some things only happen with time. Even you too, you will not heal overnight. So don't be sad if after 1 week you are still grieving over an issue. There is a time to kill and a time to... I hope I'm talking to somebody. And don't try to rush your healing process. Let's continue. A time to break down and a time to build up. Continue. A time to weep. And a time to what? A time to mourn and a time to dance. Some of you want to dance every time. It's only madmen that dance every time. A time to cast away stones and a time to what? A time to embrace and a time to what? A time to gain and a time to... Business people are far. Say, the devil is attacking my business. I've been making losses. My brother, it's a time to lose. Lose. Recently, I saw an interview with the CEO of Air Peace. He said that his company has once been defrauded of $2 million. That's 5 something billion in Naira. And he didn't come out to shout. He did not die of high blood pressure. He went back and sipped tea. Are you hearing what I say? But somebody that they just debited your account of 30,000 because you're only 30,000. I don't know, but in Maiduguri here, if you go to our banks, have you ever been to banks around here in Maiduguri? I don't know how it operates in other metropolis, but you see a lot of people in front of the bank. Have you been there before? And you just know that those people are not wealthy people. The people who have the money controlling the bank, or the bank is surviving, you don't find them in the bank. It's people that don't even... A time to gain and a time to what? Let's continue. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence. How many of you know when to be quiet? Even when you know what to say. Proverbs 17, give us the last two verses. A time to be silent. That point just struck my heart. Proverbs 17, the last two verses. There's a time to speak and a time to be quiet. Even in the prophetic, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. Have you been there before? Especially those of you who have the call of God on your life. You give a prophetic word to somebody. And the person shouts amen. 2 weeks later, they are going through crisis. They come back. Say, sir, it has not been easy. And they are hoping that you should prophesy again. Yes, prophesy again by telling them the word that you gave 2 weeks ago is enough. What they are going through is the process of the fulfillment of that word. Leave them there. There's a time to be silent. Let's read. He who has knowledge, what does he do? Talk. And a man of understanding is of a what? How many of you can know so much and keep quiet? Gen.
You just realize now that all some of you, because you talk because you know, you have divided relationships. You have destroyed relationship. Not everything told you was for you to talk. There are things God will tell you not because he wants you to say. There are things he will tell you because he's just talking with you. Close your mouth. Sometimes I'll be in my room, God will show me a pastor in this country, a popular name, and show me all kinds of dubious things that is being done as against what is projected. If I was talking like some people, I would have been copying. See it and keep quiet. God doesn't talk to you because he wants you to talk. The first reason why God talks to you is because he's looking for a confidant, a friend. Number two, the second reason why God talks to you is because he's looking for an intercessor. Why he's showing you those people's problem is to pray, not go and say it. Even when you tell them, oh, don't tell anybody, you are already in trouble. Because that person said, don't tell anybody, we tell another person, say, don't tell anybody, we tell another person, don't tell anybody. I was talking to two people, somebody recently, and I told them, I think two people or so. And I told them, I says, okay, no, it was with the leaders on Thursday. We had a leader meeting. Bishop was not around. Bishop is our workforce coordinator. I told them that any discussion we have here, if Bishop hear him now, Natella. I said, because me, I know myself. It's not me that will go and tell him. Use your two fingers to hold your mouth, please. I pray for you and I impart upon you the gift to be silent when you need to be quiet. In the name of Jesus Christ. Very good. Clap for yourself. It's a gift to be quiet. If nobody could talk in this world, I'm not sure we would have had much problems like we have. This is not the time for anybody to start pretending as if they are not hearing me. This is part of the message. Hear me. Let me ask you one question. Why did God not impart on any man the ability to know all? Maybe because if you know everything, you will know the person who is planning you evil. And I'm sure that person will not live to see tomorrow because a knife will be on assignment. So God leaves you with things you don't know. He didn't give you the ability to know people's heart. Maybe because there are some things you shouldn't know. For your good, you shouldn't know. So you now see that this anxiety to know can be a disease. It's not everything you should know. Let's come back to our teaching. I said life is in phases, men are in. When you go back, read Zechariah chapter 10 verse 8. Read Mark chapter 4 verse 26 to 32. It gives you a parable of two parables of how a seed is planted and it grows. Read it when you go home. Signs of growth. Signs of growth. Please write this down quickly. You can pull up the slides for us. Signs of growth. Number one, increase. Of course, we said that growth is a gradual process, isn't it? So when you have gone through that process, the signs that you can use to detect that something or someone has growth is any of the following. Number one, increase. Or you can call fruitfulness. Number two, signs of growth, maturity. Whether it is morphological maturity, that's physically, structurally, or spiritual maturity or numerical maturity. You know, if something has matured, you would be able to denote changes in it, isn't it? If a girl has become a woman, there are changes by which you will know, right? Number three, signs of growth, adversity. Adversity or trials is a sign that you have grown or you are growing. Is that true? How many of you had problems when you were infants? Age 0 to 5 years, did you even know what a problem is?
You didn't know. But as you grew into teenagehood, you started having problems. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When you were an infant, you didn't know what it means to have problem in relationship. You were just innocent and expecting everything to come to you. But now you have situationships. It's a sign that you have grown. Adversity is a sign of growth. I want you to believe it. Proverbs 24 verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, it's a sign that there's a problem with your growth. Your strength is small. Because when you read verse 5 and verse 6, it says a wise man is strong and a man of knowledge increases in strength. So if you faint in the day of adversity, it means you didn't increase in strength. That means you have not grown. Don't always cry when problems come. It's a sign of growth. Whether it is in your relationship, in your physical life, in your finances, adversity is a sign of growth. Number four, virtue. When you are able to cultivate virtues, some of them are patience, tolerance, perseverance, endurance, love, which is the ultimate. In fact, Colossians 3:14 says, above all things, put on the bond of perfection. The bond of perfection. The bond of maturity, which is love. Virtue is a sign of growth. Number five, influence. Influence. I want you to know that there's a difference in influence and fame. That you are famous does not mean you have grown. A child can be famous. Don't they have children actors in Hollywood? In Hollywood? So just because they are famous doesn't mean that they have matured? Does it mean that they have grown? God does not want to give you fame. He wants to give you influence. Fame can be a subset of influence. Influence is possessed by matured or grown people. That's why a salt, you throw it into a pinch of salt, you throw it into a pot of food. And as soon as it enters, you can't see it again. But when you start tasting that food till the food is finished, you will feel the presence of the salt. That's what God wants you to have. Number six, independence is also a sign of growth. Independence or responsibility, let me explain. Naturally, one of the signs that you are growing is that you become independent. There are things you can do on your own. When you were small, people bait you, right? I remember those days when we were small, my mom used to bait us and she insisted on neatness. She felt that the normal sponge they sell in the market was not strong enough. So she used to cut sack. You know sack? How many of you baited with sack? Oh! Ay. And when we complained to her that, you know, after taking your bath, you should feel cool. You'll be feeling heat after you. And when we complained to her that it's too much, she said, that's why you don't get body odor. Because they bath you well. In Nigerian laid back English. So now you have grown, you can take your bath on your own, you can eat, you can do things on your own, right? That's in the natural. But spiritually and in the kingdom, independence is a sign of childishness. Dependence is a sign of maturity. I want you to see the disparity. Naturally, you become independent as you grow. But spiritually and in the kingdom, you become more dependent on God as you grow. However, what will make up for the independence ratio in the spiritual is that you become more responsible. You become more responsible. So you are depending on God, but you have become more responsible. It's a sign that you are maturing, you are growing as a believer. Number seven, control is a sign of growth. Your willingness to be subject to control, to regulation, to allow people control how you live your life. And when I say people, I don't mean public opinion. No, a structure of authority over your life. Anybody that doesn't want their life to be under check is a sign that they are not matured. Somebody must check you. If not, you will have unlimited freedom. You will have untimely freedom. And that's the drainage to destruction. Sometimes in life, you are more preserved when you are bound than when you are free. Because when you are free, you become responsible for that freedom. You become accountable for your actions. Just because in Christ Jesus you are free to dress anyhow does not mean you should dress in a seductive and suggestive way. Just because you go to a church where they don't talk about how you dress, they don't give you how to dress, does not mean you should not be matured or wise enough to know that you dress to create an impression in the hearts of people about your image. So if you have a correct understanding of your image, you dress in a way that shows it. Those days I used to think that English wares that are imported are more skimpy. But now even our native that they sew, I don't know what is happening now. There are some clothes that you see some ladies wear is net. It's not clothes, it's net. So responsibility is a sign of growth. Control is a sign of growth. Control. Proverbs 16:32. He that hath rule over his spirit is greater than he that taketh a city. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Your willingness to put your emotions under control is a sign that you have grown. Many of you who are close to me, very close to me, you realize that sometimes I can be slow to talking or reacting over issues, right? In maybe an annoying way. Because I'm not in your heart. Maybe sometimes you wanted me to react and I just kept quiet. Right? I was not like that always. I used to be the loud mouth. My elder brother is here asking. But as I matured with time, I realized that always talking or always reacting does not solve issues. So my silence and continuous silence and patience, because by the time I'm 10 years older than this, I'll become more patient. I mean, look at your fathers now, your parents. When they were young, ask them what they used to do. But now you see them just do. It's not like they don't know how to talk. But life has put their overreaction out of check. May God mature us. May God mature you in your feelings. May God mature you in how to handle your emotions. May God mature you not to, oh God, why will somebody stay for a whole day sad? Why will somebody stay for more than 2 days angry at one thing? Some of you, something that your friend did, or maybe they didn't do something to you, you can keep that thing for 1 week till you see them. As far as you are concerned, if I don't talk calm, I'm not free. My brother, my sister, you are not matured. Because if you can sleep with something in your heart and wake up the next day and you are still as angry as before, it means you didn't change. And change is a sign of growth. I'm sorry, I know I'm hitting people this night, but it's this kind of message that will help you grow. It's not where they pamper you, and you just wake up one day and a situation will just show you how fleshy and immature you are. Not here. How about between husband and wife? Husband, is not everything your wife say you must react to. In fact, can I be honest with you and to some people sound biased? Husbands, I will come to the wives, don't worry. Husbands, it's not every time you should react to what your wife says or you react when they want you to react. Women are good and everything about them is good, including their emotions. It's pronounced. So a woman will always want to react according to her emotions. And they picked that up from Eve. That's the natural side of them. It's not being gentle. This is just the fact. And you know what I'm talking about. Now, because of that, if a woman does not talk, she has not handled her emotions. But that's why God gave you, as a man, the wisdom of rationality and logic. Don't make your wife make you react every time. Sometimes, even when it annoys them, be quiet. Years later, they will know that that silence saved the two of you. You don't have to accept it. It's just these are laws for growth. Then let me come to the women against the men. Sometimes that their patience can be extreme. There are times when they need to move and act fast. That's why God made you the hyper one when it comes to emotion. There are things that a man should not be quiet about. There are times when they should act. And God keeps you there to prompt them to act. Because how do you judge faith? By actions. Do you get the balance? I know some of you are already angry with me. I'm sorry, but you are seated. Just listen. It's the truth. Men, please learn it. Especially young men, learn it. There are times when you're not reacting may make you look like a fool. Have you not read that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men? When Jesus was to go to the cross, was it not by the power of silence that he disarmed principalities and powers? Jesus told Pilate that now I can call on my Father to send 12 legions of angels. I am not bound before you because I don't have strength. And you know, we have a group of childish men, I'm sorry to say, who feel that if they always react, it's a sign that they have strength. No, sir. In fact, quietness and patience sometimes is because you have so much strength. That's why more powerful nations are diplomatic in approach. It's not that they don't have missiles. Anyone that you see, hey, any small thing, whoa, they don't get power. The real ones that have power will try negotiation first. Send the ambassador. Diplomacy. It's not like they don't have power. Like US, for example. If US decide to let off their nuclear weapons, this earth will become like a ghost land. But you see them always doing diplomacy. It's not because they are fools. Learn it. It's part of maturity. It's part of growth. There are times where God will clap for you for not reacting. And men will insult you for reacting. It's growth. It's years later you will understand that that silence helped you. And then number 8, longevity is a sign of growth. Longevity is a sign of growth. When you go back home, read John chapter 21 verse 18. Let's read John 15 verse 1 to 8. We're rounding up now. Alakara de Mahasuta. John 15 verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Number 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Number 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my. So God is interested in growth. Factors for growth. We'll run through the slide very quickly. Factors for growth. The following that I will list for you are elements necessary or involved for the process of growth. If you must grow, your process of growth in any aspect of life must involve one or more of these. Number one, humility. Number two, knowledge or wisdom. You can't, in fact, knowledge is the cradle for growth. Isaiah 33 verse 6 says, wisdom shall be the, knowledge and wisdom shall be the stability of your times. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom and in all you're getting, get. Number three, factors for growth. Patience. You need patience to grow. Because process takes time. Process, not processes. Process takes time. Process takes time. So you need patience. Be patient with your business. Be patient with your spiritual maturity. Be patient with your finances. Not patiently doing nothing. That's why I spoke about knowledge and wisdom in the second one. Are you hearing me? Anybody applying patience without knowledge, you will not change after a while. Patience. Be patient with your partner. Be patient with your spouse. Be patient with your teachers. Be patient with your mentors. Be patient with your job, your career. Apostle, they don't like me in this office. I need a new job. Be patient. It's not every job that was meant to give you money. Some jobs were meant to produce virtue in you that is needed for the upward rise of your career. Be patient with yourself. Nobody becomes overnight. But in your patience, be intentional. Don't be patiently doing nothing. It's God speaking to us. Number four, attention. Attention is needed for growth. Attention is what differentiates growth from malformation. Attention is what differentiates growth from malformation. Do you know that anything that must grow, you must pay attention to? For you to grow, you must pay attention to your growth. For you to become, you must pay attention to your becoming. Please listen and allow the ushers. I used to say that attention is the price for wisdom. Do you want the rain to fall now? You are more concerned about rain than the word of God. Listen, if you want anything to grow, give it attention. Beginning from yourself. The reason why many people don't grow, even when they are around available resources needed for their growth, is because they don't pay attention to the resources. They don't pay attention to the elements needed for their growth. Number five, obedience to laws and principles. Obedience to laws and principles. These are factors for growth. Somebody say amen. Hear this. Time is not included on this list. This list I gave you, factors for growth. You'll notice I didn't put time, isn't it? You know why? Because nothing changes by time. Nothing changes by time. Things only change with time. I know you missed that. Let me say it again. Nothing changes by time. Time in itself cannot change anything. Things only change with time. There are components that changes things in the process of time. That's why I didn't put time in this list. And I want you to know also that time reveals things. Time reveals things. Time does not process things. Time reveals things. It is process that changes things. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now the Bible tells us of examples of men who went through processes in scripture. Men who went through processes and over those processes matured into the promise of God for their lives and destiny. The Bible talks about Job.
Remember that in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 11 to 12, the Bible says we should follow those who through faith and patience obtained. Through faith and patience, they obtained the promise. The Bible gives us an example of a man called Job. James chapter 5 verse 7 to 11. Job was a man that went through process. In fact, the Bible is clear of the process that Job went through. Because he was going through calamity did not mean that God was going to change his situation overnight. Many chapters came and Job was the way he was. But after the process of time, there was a change. Now, Job is an example for people going through afflictions. Sudden afflictions, satanic attacks. The way he went through his process, God has put it there so that when you are going through your own, you can watch how Job reacted. Learn from him and learn not to do certain things that he did. For instance, at some point, Job was declaring his righteousness. He felt that he had no right to go through what he was going through because he was sacrificing to God every now and then. He was righteous and all of that. And now there are many people who ask questions. Why do bad things happen to people? My answer to that question is because when you have bad and good in one sentence, it gives birth to variety, which is a sign of life. How will you know good if you don't see bad? How will you know bad if you don't see good? If you have ever been sick before, you will appreciate good health. But if you've never been sick, you will think it's a right to remain in your state of health. So Job is an example of a man that went through affliction. And you know how to comport yourself in the midst of affliction. Number two, Abraham and Sarah. These are examples of men that went through the process that led to the fulfillment of their promise. In Isaiah 51 verse 1 to 12, the Bible says we should look at Abraham. How God blessed him and increased him. That means Abraham is the portrait for a blessed life. How does God bless men in the kingdom? Very simple. Look at Abraham. How do people enter into the manifestation of their promise from God? Look at Sarah. In Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 12, it talks about Abraham and Sarah. In fact, for Sarah, the Bible says that Sarah, by faith, received strength and brought forth. She waited till she was 90. And it took the strength of God for a 90-year-old woman's reproductive system to work again. That tells you that if you are waiting for the promise of God, don't look at time. Watch the process, not the time. Because when the process is complete, the time can be compressed for the manifestation. If not, 90 years cannot give birth. If you can't, then Yahoo business will be the best for you. Hookup will be the best for you. God prospers men, yes. But there is a portrait for prosperity. Check Abraham. When God gives you a prophetic word, there is a portrait in scripture. Abraham. He waited even when it didn't make sense. Even when anxiety stepped in. In Genesis 15, he told God, you have been talking and talking. I'm about to die childless. I just realized that age is catching up or has caught up with me. What will you give to me since that I die childless? Is he a servant that will inherit? He lost hope. And there are times when you will lose hope waiting on the promise of God. Even if you are anointed. Even if you are a man of God. There are times when you will give up. I heard the story through Pastor Poju of T.D. Jakes. He said that for 10 years in his ministry, he did not have up to 10 members or so. He will go to conferences and see people claiming, oh, I have so number in my church and all of that. But for 10 years, the number of his congregation was nothing to show for it. Now he has a 30,000 seater church in Dallas, Texas. Anytime he does his conference, he's packed up to overflow. But it took 10 years. Can you wait like that? Nothing changed in 10 years. That's why I say trust the process. Tell your neighbor, trust the process. Not time. Trust the process. Number three.
Joseph, I'm rushing so that we can be done shortly. Joseph is another example. Genesis 50 verse 20 to 21 and verse 22 to 26. Have you been betrayed before? Have you been backstabbed before? Have you been lied about before? You are not the first one. Check the life of Joseph. Have you tried to do the right thing and he ended you in trouble? Check Joseph. He's your ancestor. The woman said, lie with me. If you are lied with the woman, slept with the woman, nothing will happen. He will be eating that food every now and then for free. And the woman will keep speaking well of him before Potiphar. Nobody will know. Satan is a liar when he tries to make you cover your sin. He's a liar. Sin covered is exposed already. It's just a matter of time. He's waiting for when you are somebody, then he will expose you. That's why when you go before God, don't hide anything. Just tell God, God, I'm a fornicator. I slept with somebody. Have mercy on me. God, I told lie yesterday. In fact, that conversation I had with that man this morning, I just lied now. Help me. We cover things too much, and that's why Satan has many of us. Joseph would have lied, but he said, I can't do this wickedness before God. And because he did the truth, or he stood for the truth, it ended him in jail. And that's the thing in this life. When you decide to stand for truth and do the right thing and follow due process, many times you discover you are an alien in your society. And that's why you must be convinced it's the truth. If I was just building church members, I would not take this long time teaching. But we are raising kingdom agents for transformation. So if you have been lied about, you are not alone. Joseph, they lied about him. He stayed in prison. He waited for the day that God would defend him. God never defended him. In fact, they forgot him in prison. But one night, after he had matured through the process, after all, it was talk that landed from his father's house. Everything he saw, he would say it. He would go and tell on his brothers. God said, this your attitude is good, but you also need to learn the wisdom of silence. How did he learn it? They threw him inside pit and sold him as a slave. Right? So Joseph is an example of a man that went through process. And at the end of the day, he became his destiny. In fact, Pharaoh called him a name in Egyptian language. The meaning of the name is preserver of life. But it took 13 years to mature into it. 13 years. It's not a man that was boasting of coat of many colors that God can give throne. No. You know, he wore that cloth and showed it to his brothers, and that's why they became more angry. A cloth of many colors. But God wanted a man that can be in authority and will still be humble. And took process. Part of that process was jail. One of the presidents of this country, before he became president, went to jail. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. David is another man. If you want to see how you can move from when God speaks a thing over you and when it comes to pass, check David. You want to see how God makes kings and rulers, check David. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1 and verse 13. God spoke about anointing David and anointed him. But it took years before he became king. Psalms 89 verse 20 to 36. Read about David. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 26 to 28. And then finally, Jesus, a man that went through process. Luke 2:52 says Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. That summarized 18 years of his life. Philippians 2:5-10. Though he was God, he thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation. He came and lived as a man, humbled himself to death, and therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. So, Jesus is a portrait for exaltation. So if you want to see how God exalts people, he will humble them first. So if God is taking you through humiliation, he's about to exalt you. Part of that humiliation may be God allowing a generation to misunderstand you. God allowing lies to spread about you. And he will do nothing to defend it, not because he hates you, but because it will take you through a process of humiliation and work out the virtue of humility in you. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. Please lay your right hand on your head before we go tonight. May God work out on you the spirit and the grace for humility. Amen. The humility needed for your destiny. The humility needed for your mantle. The humility needed for your anointing. The humility needed for your calling. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Now hear this. It doesn't mean you have received it too. But maybe tomorrow now something will happen that will disgrace you as a result of what you receive today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm not preaching to you as much. I may not have gone through so much, but listen, most of the things I'm teaching you, I've gone through it before. I know what it means to be talked about. There are things they've said about me that I have not bothered coming here to tell you. For instance, a few years ago, I was told that some pastors, even in this our city, said that I was using another power. That when you see people falling down in Pneumatech, is that thing, no? A pastor has met me and told me that other pastors came to discourage him from allowing me use his church or his altar because I'm using another power. Years ago, I'm just telling you now. You small gossip with a gossip yesterday, you are... The ones that are happening now, I will tell you next year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, tell your neighbor, care less about what people say. Tell them, I hope you heard what I just said. You know, because we talk in church. After this now, tomorrow, you now enter a situation where you should exemplify what you are hearing. Amen. In fact, I was happy when I heard that from that man of God that they say I'm using juju. That was when I know God was using me. It has to be strange. They've not seen anything yet. Just like very soon now, you hear the kind of testimonies we hear here. So in fact, some of you, it's difficult to believe. Spondylosis. Do you know what kind of sickness that is? And you lay hands and pray in 10 seconds. Don't think that the prayer I prayed for the woman was... It was me and Timothy that went. In the morning. Where is the woman? They carried the woman. They carried her. She didn't walk. They carried her to the parlor. I walked straight, laid hands. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Let your spine be corrected in Jesus' name. Amen. Walked out. And spondylosis was corrected in less than 10 days. Listen, it takes process to arrive at that level of authority. There was a time I prayed like that and people became more sick. I prayed for people and they died many times. So I'm no longer praying again because I want the glory to come to me. Whether they die or they live, the glory is to who? So God will say, now you can heal the sick. I hope you learned something. So what do you do when you are going through process? I say this and we pray. I'll be very brief. Listen to this. Your today is the answer to your prayers of yesterday and the process for the manifestation of your tomorrow. Your today is the answer to your prayers of yesterday and the process for the manifestation of your tomorrow. So where you are is both an answer and a process. Apostle, I'm sick. Or Apostle, I'm broke. Apostle, people are lying against me. It's an answer to a prayer you prayed yesterday. I was not there when you said, Lord, break me and make me. Abi? Remember when you attended that concert, that worship concert? When you attended that, you were listening to Minister Theophilus on Sunday. Lord, kill me. You follow and talk, I'm Lord, kill me. That's why they, it's part of the killing that they are lying about you now. You know, we just sing. Many of you just sing songs and think you are singing. You are making notes. You are praying to God. So when you are now telling God to take this cup away from me, God is looking at you and confused. What? This is our child. Yesterday he said I should break you. Today I just started the breaking. You say he's... Eh? God bless Minister Theophilus on Sunday. I think one of these youth aflame, we need to bring him. Yes. Let him come and sing, Lord, kill me. And when he see, I will come on stage and say, Father, as they have said it, so shall it be. Kill them all. Huh? Where you are today is an answer to a prayer you prayed and forgot yesterday. But it's a process. So be patient. What do you do when going through process? Number one, believe in the process. Believe in the process. Because it's going to work out a greater good for you. Number two, surrender to the process. Surrender to the process. Don't try to run. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Imagine somebody who has an injury and they want to dress the wound and they just pour spirit. The person say, yay! Then he ran away. That wound will rot him. And if care is not taken, they will have to cut that leg. Surrender to you the process. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I remember when I went to boarding house during cold. You have to wake up in the morning and take your bath. And when you touch the water, it's ice cold. And you must bath now. Surrender. I remember some people who didn't surrender to those cold water. They started doing what we call rub and shine. They'll pour water inside Vaseline and rub their body and they look like they are taking their bath. And then during the day when the heat comes up, they start smelling. And those who took their bath are not smelling. Any process you don't surrender to now, it will show in your tomorrow. Anything you try to dodge now, it will show tomorrow. When God is trying to deal with pride and you don't surrender to it, you are hiding it. Tomorrow it may destroy you. I pray that what you try to keep from God today will not destroy your tomorrow. Amen. Surrender. I have been to meetings before. I was the guest speaker with my face on the poster. They sat me down and played politics on stage. I didn't preach. I mean on stage, on the stage, yeah. Not the one that you see. I sat there facing big people. I was the guest speaker. I don't know how they did that politics. I remained there. Me that was supposed to become the preacher, I became the one that introduced the preacher. And God did not do anything about it. You will be glorified. You will be glorified. We are going to pray now. You will be glorified. You will be glorified. Unto you be all glory and honor and praise. You will be glorified. Unto you be all glory. I'm telling you, surrender to the process. Don't skip it. Don't try to fast track it. Remain there. Allow the process to refine you and be processed in the process. Be processed. Allow it, allow yourself to be grinded. Allow God to attack your ego and your pride. Well, allow it. It's for a greater tomorrow. Anything God does not kill today might kill you tomorrow. Number three, endure the process. Endure it. Under endure the process, adjust to current status or situation. Endure. Yes, God will make you a millionaire, but you are not yet a millionaire. Manage your 30,000. Don't foolishly go to a boutique where a shirt is 50,000 and say, no, I'm working by faith. They say that we should go and price what we don't have. Don't be a fool, sir. Follow those who through faith and patience obtain. Say, Pastor Prince has a car. Pastor Henry has a car. Mima, by faith. Then you walk up to a car stand. Do you know when they were broke? I remember when Pastor Henry bought his car. I think I can share this now. It's years back. He had accident twice, Abby. And it's like it happened the same time in 2 years. The second time, Keke carried him and threw him. When I called him, he told me what happened. He said, sir, I think it's time to have a car. I returned back to Medjugorje. I saw him with a car. Endure the process. Enter the Keke now. Don't worry. You will drive a Rolls Royce tomorrow. As a student, endure the process now. Allow the lecturer to insult you. I will not go that lecturer where they insult anybody. Carry your face and stand here. Let him insult you left, right, and center. Pass the course and leave him. Stop paying attention to what is in the presence. Endure. They are talking about me in church. I will not go to church again. Hey, yeah. And that's the person God wants to use. This one, our church members, they talk about you. When bloggers start carrying your gist, you will just die now. Tell your neighbor, endure the process. Adjust to current situation and status. Don't try to hasten your growth. Just grow. Don't try to hasten your growth. Just grow. If your money is enough to buy second-hand car, buy second-hand car proudly. It's not about what you have now. It's about where you are going to. Some guys are under pressure to buy a car so that women will look at them. No, sir. Any woman that cannot look at you while you are trekking, forget it. You will not need her to look at you when you have fleets of cars. Go and meet the lady with your two legs. If she marry you like that, no problem. She's marrying your destiny, not you now. And ladies, may I impart upon you the gift of sight. The gift to look at a man and see where he's going to. Yes. To look at a man that will be a governor in 15 years time. Somebody told me a story about God's servant, Dr. Paul Enenche, and his wife. That years ago, I think when he was still a student, there was a lady he dated, and then he had to end the relationship or something, or the lady left him. Because he was too, you know, he was out for God and all of that. But years later, when they built their structure in Area 1, pastoring a large church like that with 5 services, after service one day, guess who came to see doctor? Girlfriend of many years. So when doctor was introducing the lady to the woman, his wife, said, ah, thank you very much, man. Thank you for leaving him for me. That was a man that entered Abuja with nothing. God said, go to Abuja. I will use you there. Abandoned his medical career. Abandoned going abroad. Went to Abuja with 2 legs. Today, pastors the largest church in the world. Ladies, I impart upon you the gift of sight. I'm telling you, you need it too. You need eyes to know when Abraham comes around you with the name Abraham. You need eyes. Some of these guys, you think they will end like this forever? No way. And you, my guys, may your eyes be open. Yes. Because I know what you want to marry now. What you want to marry is what has the front and the back. Don't be foolish. Marry wisdom first. Front and back without wisdom is nonsense. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Be wise. Some of you, the reason why you are still confused in choosing the right woman is you are looking for spec. Spec and destiny cannot stay on the same sentence. See your wife in front of you, but you are looking for spec. Spec and destiny don't stay in the same sentence. She may not be as beautiful as the other one, but she can pray. That prayer will save you from death 10 years time. Huh? Are you blessed today? Number 4, stay hopeful in the process. Stay hopeful in the process.
Be proud of who you are now and remain conscious of who you are becoming. That's how to stay hopeful in the process. Learn as you grow and grow as you learn. Trust in the God of the process. Trust in the God of the process. That's how to stay hopeful in the process. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and an expected end. I see a glorious future for somebody here. God is taking you places you have never been before. Anybody that looks down on you now will look up to you in your glory tomorrow. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been blessed tonight? Please wait, lift your hands and give Jesus praise. Unto you be all glory and honor and praise. You will be glorified. Unto you be all glory and honor and praise. On your feet tonight. I want to listen. Hear this before you pray. Success is not what you get because of what you do. Success is who you are. Success is not what you will become. Success is who you are. Who you will become is who you are today. I want you to make the foundation of your success in this life. Make it the discovery of your identity. Discover who you are and live perpetually in the consciousness of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A CEO is a CEO whether he wears agbada or he wears t-shirt. Are you hearing me? Don't let location, people, societal pressure make you think that you are failing. No, sir. Let God be glorified in who you are. Move with a consciousness of your identity. Live in it. Embrace it. And who you are will be what you will become. Never you allow anybody to put you under pressure. Trust the process. If you don't have money to buy a wig, plait all back. Pray in tongues. Get knowledge. Engage the factors for growth. One day, Listen, I told one of my, I'll be privileged to say, one of my spiritual sons in the Lord. I hope you know Timothy was a young man when he was a bishop. So nobody should look at me and say, a small boy like this, be papa. Me and you, we are not age mates in the spirit. We are not age mates in the spirit. Even if they anoint your eyes with Goya oil, if I close my eyes, what I see, you can't see. So calm down. And I'm just joking with that, okay? I was praying one day and God told me to send him a word. And I told him, the things you seek will come to you when you stop seeking them and start seeking God. And 1 week later, he found his wife. After many failed relationships. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Some of the things that we are putting ourselves under pressure for, it will come, it will come, it will come. Are you hearing me? Today I came inside my napep, keke napep, gallantly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? it doesn't change me at all. I am the same person. I know what is inside of me. Time will come where you will see these different jeeps that will be coming. And it will not even be something we'll celebrate by that time. Some of you, clothes that you are killing yourself to buy, small money that you have, don't put yourself under pressure. Buy cheap material, sew it. Some of you will go and sew clothes of 35,000. What is wrong with you? Are you wise at all? You are sewing clothes with money that you cannot earn. I'm not talking about money that they dash you. Money you are not worth. What is wrong with you? Be patient. Buy cheap material and sew it. Go to Sister Ada. Go to Ima. Let them sew. You know why? Because those cheap clothes, you will not wear it for long. Buy books. Invest in your mind. Build yourself. Upgrade your certificate. A time will come where somebody took a pastor to a shop, a big shop in the US, a big, you know, where you have everything, where celebrities shop. It took a pastor in Africa, a very big pastor. When they entered, he gave the pastor his car. No, the pastor's wife gave the woman the car. Say, please pick anything you want, as much as you want. And then went somewhere and was talking with somebody. I hope you know it's ability that can make somebody do that. Some of you can't do that now. Because what is there is $50,000. It's less than $100. But don't worry, because God is taking you somewhere. I tell you, God is taking you somewhere. The Bible says you shall have houses that you did not build. It says you shall have wells that you did not dig. Some of you will soon get to a point where you will not be able to finish the money in your account before more money comes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is working on you now. He's putting an idea on you. An idea that will bring a cycle of wealth your way. Am I talking to somebody here? But trust the process. Trust the process. Be patient. I remember when we started this ministry, Bishop, if you remember, there was a time where my clothes, I later discovered that the material was bedsheet material. You know those natives I used to wear that time? I would sew them and preach powerfully. I didn't have money to buy shoe. The same shoe, when the sole chopped, they would remove it and put powerful sole, strong one, and I would wear it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are not where we are to go to, but at least we are not there again. At least you can come to a point where somebody can tell you to sew this one cloth is 50,000. And you don't feel betrayed spending that money, because you are worth more than times 100 of that. But it didn't start like that. There was a time I sewed bed sheet. Are you hearing me? Sew cheap clothes. Buy cheap things now. But invest in your future. One of my mentors, Apostle Joshua Selman, will say this. He said, if you send your mind to your future, it will come and take your body there. Many of you see him. You see him dressed very humble, but he has worked in that thing over time. That guy, if he should flaunt his wealth, in my opinion, I believe what I know of him, is one of the richest pastors in this country. He should be among first 10. That guy has money. You don't see up to a quarter of him outside. And there are things I won't tell you, because when you are privileged to enter a cycle, you must shut your mouth.
Anytime I go and see him, I just pray. I say, Lord, impart humility. How can somebody be this wealthy? When he tells me how much they spend for conferences. God is making you somebody. Tell your neighbor, trust the process. Now hold the hand of that neighbor. You are going to pray and ask for the spirit of patience to go through the process needed for your destiny. In 2 minutes, lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Sora makatele bakaya. Pray, pray, pray. Lord, impart on me the virtue of patience. 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 Pray. The patience to go through the process. The patience to go through the process. Please listen. For potential to be realized, process must be engaged. A lion does not become a lion overnight. A lion starts as a cub. You have that picture for me? That fully grown majestic beast you call a lion begins as a cub. And from that stage of being a cub, they are at risk of many things. As you see it like this, it is very vulnerable. Hyenas, if they find it, they will kill it and eat it. You know, hyena eats anything. Other lions that want to mate with their mother can kill them so that the mother can be ready for mating. So this is their most vulnerable stage. This is a stage of survival. This is where they go through all kinds of challenges. Just like some of you are now going through the same. But all of that is what transforms what you are seeing now to what you are seeing. When you look at this beast, you are seeing years of trouble, of survival, of problem. That's why you see it doesn't smile. It has survived death many times. That's why the lion like this cannot turn back from any beast. It has faced death many times. Don't try to appear into destiny suddenly. Go through the process. Endure the hunger. There were times in my life the hunger was so much that we had to convert it to fasting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know what it means as a pastor to struggle with sickness and yet preach to people that God can heal. 4 years ago, I remember one time we were preparing for a miracle service. August like this. It was Pastor Henry who came to my house secretly to give me drip. Even Bishop didn't know. Even Bishop didn't know. I was on drip. I had to take 2 bags. Then gathered myself. Mrs. Jessica's husband came to carry me. While he was inside, I held the wall and went to the car. After 4 days of purging and vomiting and vomiting and... But I believe that God could heal. Nobody becomes overnight. But for that potential in your spirit to manifest, it will take you through process. You will be tried. You will be bastardized with a lot. But tell your neighbor, survive, 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 survive. Preach to 3 people around you, survive the process. Survive the process. You are more than a conqueror, survive the process. You are an overcomer. Survive the process. Forget about what people say about you now. That's why you see me. I don't care what people say. And don't try to make me care. Because when I was nothing, and even now I'm still nothing, no. When I was nothing, where were the people? Why should all of a sudden their mouth or what they say determine who I am or where I'm going to? Survive. So when you see God healing people here anyhow, know that the knowledge and the revelation of healing has been tried over time. Not only even me, there are many of you that have started working in these gifts already. There are many people here that can flow in the prophetic, flow in healing, flow in the miraculous. It took alignment and sacrifice to get it. And you too, when God is making you pay the price for a generation, don't skip it. Survive it. Father, we give you praise tonight. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Can you pray one more prayer before you go? The Lord told me at the beginning of this week that we should pray and contend for the manifestation of every prophetic word over our life. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I command you, Timothy, of the prophecies that have gone ahead of you, that thou with them mightest war a good warfare. Some of you, it's time for your process to be over. It's time for the promise to manifest. If I give you 60 seconds, can you cry and contend for the manifestation of every prophecy, every prophetic word? Can you cry? And forever you will be. You're the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow my knee to worship you, Lord. Every prophetic word, every prophecy hanging over my life that is due for manifestation. Pray. 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 Let it come into its fulfillment in this season. Materialize. Manifest. I decree and declare over your life as you return back home today. So shall it be as you have asked. Many of you have been through processes. Now, I bring you to the fulfillment of the promise of God for your life. The Bible says, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Your season of joy has come. I prophesy joy to you this season. Remember, the Bible says those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Anything that has eroded your joy because of what you are going through, in the name of Jesus, let it be expunged from your life. I prophesy to your soul, rejoice and let your joy overflow. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord help you to develop the right virtues to go through your process. The virtue of patience, the virtue of tolerance, the virtue of humility, the wisdom of silence, as well as the wisdom to know how to speak. Everything you need to mature into the fullness of what God has designed for you. Receive it in this season. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These words will bear fruit in your life as they take root in your heart. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Please clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed tonight? Let me give an opportunity for an altar call before we go. Please all standing. If you are here, your process of growth and maturity in Christ Jesus begins by saying yes to Jesus. If there is any amongst us here that want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you want to be born again, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus afresh, maybe because of too many challenges you have backslided in your heart. People may not know, but in your heart you have backslided. You have given up on God. In fact, in your heart you have returned back. Jesus is calling you with all the love that he has given tonight for you to be restored. Wherever you are standing or watching online, say this after me. Lord Jesus, I return to you today. I believe that you died and rose again for my salvation. I receive you into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please, if you made that prayer with me, just keep your right hand lifted so I can see you. Unashamedly, if you prayed that prayer with me, please lift your right hand so I can see you in the congregation. God bless you as you do that. If you prayed that prayer of surrender or rededication, please lift your right hand. Let me see you. God bless you. Now, please walk up to the front quickly. Those of you lifting your right hand, come quickly to the front. I want to seal the work of salvation that has begun in your life today. Let's give God a big hand of praise. The Bible says there's joy in heaven for one soul that repents. Jesus did not call the righteous, but the sinners. Hallelujah. Father, I decree and declare over this one, sins are forgiven. Declare him born again. We declare from today victory over sin, Satan, hell, and the grave. To serve you all the days of his life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. God bless you for this wise decision you have made. Amen. Please, where's the counselor there? All right. Just turn and walk towards those people there. All right. They'll have a word with you before you go. Please clap your hands for Jesus.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.